there are many people here who today could give a tribute to Ken, I'm sure. We all have our own stories about Ken, but we couldn't all be here telling them. And so I invite Mr. David Nichols to come out, and he's going to read his tribute to Ken. David, would you like to come out?
Ken was someone whom I had known since my early youth, when with his parents he moved into one of the newly built houses in Bishopston, Bristol. And Ken joined a youth club, which he quickly spotted over the back garden fence, which met in the hall belonging to the church I attended, the Church of the Good Shepherd. His parents attended St. Albans, just along the road in Westbury Park. But Ken did not want to become involved with the high church. You know what that means, doesn't it? And had already made friends with us youth at Good Shepherd. I was young once. He had happily welcomed him in, and he soon became one of the gang, joining in their activities and worship. At first, his parents were unhappy, but fortunately allowed him to stay. Ken thoroughly enjoyed his time with us. And when he was older, when we got to know him, he bought an elderly car. And of course, he was quite happy for us all to have a go at driving it, which we all enjoyed very much. Of course, you didn't require a test or a license at that time. Rumour had it that when he finished school, his dad wanted to set him up in a small shop, but Ken would have none of it. And at that time, a few of us older lads were called to serve our country. And on returning home after the war, we found that Ken had taken off and eventually turned up in Swindon, and he had found employment in a car company. A couple of us had tried to keep in touch with him as the years passed by, and then, fortuitously, one of our church members, the Good Shepherd, was called to the church's ministry, and lo and behold, was sent here to Christchurch. Inevitably, he met up with Ken. And you know how the chat goes. It wasn't long before we were all meeting up occasionally again, and learnt, amongst other things, that Ken had become very involved with Christchurch and a scheme at that time for looking after the homeless in Swindon, visiting at night time with food, drink and help, similar to the present day situation it was seen. A typical reaction from Ken. Doubtless he would have been giving his time to other good works as well. We started meeting up once a month with three or four other long-standing friends, where we exchanged current news and, yes, you guessed it, talked to the times we all enjoyed our youth. I can say we did. He also wrote to me saying how good the Church of the Good Shepherd had helped him shape the quality of his religion, for which he was very grateful. In the 1990s, the Odd Fellows Friendly Society, of which I am a member, put me in charge of restoring the Swindon branch, which was struggling to continue. Of course, who did I turn to but Ken, who was delighted to help me out, and that was useful for me to have somebody on the spot, and then, of course, the branch started to move ahead. Subsequently, David Ray took over the reins, and Swindon branch continues to move, I'm glad to say. Ken was a true friend, always ready to help and assist in any way he could, always be dependent upon to help, and never let you down. Surely he will be sadly missed by all who knew him. Utterly trustworthy, generous, dependable and of wonderful character, somebody who is irreplaceable.
Thank you very much, David. I want to read now Betty's contribution. Betty O'Grady unfortunately cannot be here, and so she has written her own tribute, which she's asked me to read to you now. She says, "I would like to pay my own tribute to Ken. We were the closest of friends for over 40 years and had many happy times and holidays together. His friends became my friends. I was close to his niece, and my own family loved him. He was invited to all our family celebrations. He was such a kind and generous man, and did so much for the homeless and other charities. He was one of the first Cyrenians in Swindon, with his friend Diana Benbrows and the Reverend Andrew Hake and a few other people, trying to find accommodation for the homeless, and joined the Sleep Out each year until he was 80. He started the aviation group in the U3A with 5 members, and now that group has increased to over 70 members. He was liked by everyone who knew him. If you were a friend of Ken's, you were a friend for life, including his school friends in Bristol. And he saw the best in everyone. God bless you, Ken. I shall miss you very much. Betty." So may I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I knew that Ken had chosen all the music he wanted and the reading for his funeral service, when I knew that he wanted me to do his funeral, immediately a Bible reading that I thought would be suitable came into my mind. And it was not the one that Elizabeth has read. It wasn't the one of Paul's letters, although that's a beautiful reading. It's lovely, and was typical of Ken to have chosen one about God's love for everyone. But the one that I thought would have been typical for Ken's service was from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. The chapter when Jesus tells his listeners that at the last day, the king will say to the people there, "I was hungry and you gave me food. Naked and you clothed me. In prison and you visited me." And when his disciples said, "When was this? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison and visited you?" And Jesus said, "For as much as you did it unto the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me." And I'm sure that that's what God has said to Ken when he arrived in heaven. "For as much as you did it unto the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me." Ken spent his entire life helping others, usually the people whom others found it difficult to love, difficult to help. Those who were down on their luck and who needed a helping hand. Ken never passed by on the other side. He always stopped and spoke to all homeless people when he saw them on the street. He had a passion for the down and out people of our society, and he strove all his life to find ways of making their lives better. To this end, as we've heard, in the 1960s, he was one of those who started the Cyrenians in Swindon, an organization so named after Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross for Jesus on that day of his passion. And together with Reverend Andrew Hake and Reverend Derek Evans and a few more, he started Cyrenians here in this town. He went to a meeting all about setting up the charity, and there he met Liz, who used to go on a soup run in the evenings, taking flasks of hot soup to homeless people living on the street. Ken asked if he could join her the following night, which he did, and so began his lifelong passion for helping homeless and helping to feed them. Ken then helped set up Food in the Dustbin Project. Now, this was a project which he did. They were lent clean new dustbins from Swindon Authority, and they would go round to different shops. This was in the 1970s, and the volunteers would have food that perhaps was a little out of date, but still okay, and from individuals as well, and was like the forerunner of the food bank today. Volunteers would go around with their dustbins in their cars, but as Ken at that time didn't have a car, he went round with his dustbin strapped onto the back of his bike, which was a quirky approach and one which raised the profile of the project, even having his photograph in the Advertiser newspaper with Ken on his bike with a dustbin strapped to his back. For years, once a year, there's been a sponsored sleep out for the homeless in the car park of Emmanuel Church. And Ken always did this. And it was only when he was in his 80s when the organisers told him quite firmly, well, very firmly, that he was now getting too old to do this, that he reluctantly stopped. Ken was an adventurous man, always thinking of his next innovative task, such as when he first had his senior citizens' bus pass. With the help of many bus timetables, he bussed his way from Swindon to Plymouth and back. It took him a long time, but he didn't spend a penny because he used his bus pass. And that captured the imagination of somebody, and it was in the Advertiser about him. And only last year, when we were raising money in this partnership of churches for the Foyer Project, which is a project to help young people who've had not a very good start in life, Ken wanted to do something for it. So he said to me, I think I'll organise a sponsored race for disabled people using electric scooters. I was horrified. He said, no, we can do it in Emmanuel Church car park. But I had awful visions of disabled people falling from their scooters and unable to get back on. And just imagine the headlines in the paper if we had a pile-up of electric scooters with injured people. So I told Ken I didn't think it was a very good idea. So then Ken put a notice in our partnership magazine, asking for similar users of scooters to meet up and have a get-together. But no one replied. I don't think any of the others were as adventurous as Ken was. Now, as we've heard, Ken was not a Swindonian. He was Bristol born and bred. And although he spent over 50 years living in Swindon, he still loved Bristol. And when he was 70, Ken decided he would have a party, a birthday party. But he wanted to share his love of Bristol with his many Swindon friends. So he arranged the party in his old church hall in Bristol. And he hired a coach to take us all there. And as well as the party, we had a coach tour of Bristol with Ken as our tour guide. It was a very enjoyable day. He joined the U3A, as we've heard, and thought it would be a good idea if there was an aviation group, which he set up, and which is still, I think, still going. You see, Ken was always interested in technology. He moved with the times and loved hearing about recent inventions and new ideas. In fact, he embraced the 21st century with enthusiasm. About 40 years ago, he became a good friend to Betty O'Grady, and they were good companions one for another. They came on many of our church group holidays. And I remember the fun we had on a Nile cruise. We went on the Nile cruise in the winter. And when we set off, it was rather chilly. But Ken was determined he was going to sit out on deck. So there was Ken on a sun lounger with his coat on and his scarf on, because he was determined that this was what you did when you went on a cruise. I remember both Ken and Betty getting lost in Ibiza once on a holiday we went on. Ken even went on a pilgrimage to Iona when he was in his 80s. It was organized by Daphne from this church, and she told me how he entered into everything there. Despite him being in his 80s, he joined in everything. We will miss you, Ken. We will miss him at church. He was a regular worshipper at the 8 o'clock communion. Sometimes he did come to the 10 o'clock service when the organ would be played. But we shall miss his presence at being here. We shall miss his advice and for his enthusiasm for everything we did. But we thank God for the legacy he has left, the legacy of being an example to us all of a Christian life well lived. I'm sure if we all lived our lives as Ken lived his, then the world would be a better place. And I say again, for as much as you did it, Ken, and to the least of these, my little ones, you did it to me. Now we're going to listen to a piece of music which again has been chosen by Ken for us to think about in this service. We're going to think about the people this music is all about. He chose the streets of London, and we're going to listen to that now.
Have you seen the old man in the closed down market, picking up the papers with his worn out shoes? In his eyes you see no pride, and held loosely at his side, yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So how can you tell me you're lonely, and he said for you that the sun don't shine. Oh, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. And have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London? Dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags. She's no time for talking, she just keeps right on walking, carrying her home in two carrier bags. So how can you tell me you're lonely when you say for you that the sun don't shine? Well, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. Cafe at a 11:15, same old man sitting there on his own, looking at the world over the rim of his teacup. In each tea lasts an hour, and he wanders home alone. So how can you tell me that you're lonely? You say for you that the sun don't shine. Or let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old man outside the seaman's mission? Memory fading with the metal ribbons that he wears. And in our winter city, the rain cries a little pity for one more forgotten hero and a world that doesn't care. So how can you tell me that you're lonely? And you say for you that the sun don't shine. Oh, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind.
Was full of fun. He also enjoyed everything. And the last few months of his life he spent at Orchid Care Home. It's good to see some representatives from that care home here today. And some of us visited him there. And he was, you know, quite reasonably happy there. He liked the place and so on. But the last time I went to see him there was just before the week of Christmas. I went and I was told to go up to the floor where he was. And when I got there, they were having their Christmas party. And there was Ken sitting in the front row, and there was organized entertainment. And there was this beautiful, good-looking blonde lady in a red dress with a microphone serenading Ken, and he was enjoying it. And I said to the carers, I can't compete with that. So So I left, and I didn't see him again until he was in hospital, when Elizabeth, Betty's daughter, and I sat with him when he was just hours before he died. But he loved life. He embraced everything. He wasn't somber in any way. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for Ken. And today, our thanks are not only coming from those of us who are present here in this church, but our thanks are also on behalf of the countless people who Ken has helped during his life. Those people who are down and out, homeless, and sometimes without hope. Lord, on behalf of all of those, as well as ourselves, we say thank you, Ken. And we thank you, Lord, for the way in which you inspired Ken to have a heart for the downtrodden and lonely of society. God of mercy, Lord of life, you have made us in your image to reflect your truth and light. We give you thanks for Ken, who definitely reflected your truth and light, for the grace and the mercy Ken received from you, for all that was good in his life, and for the memories we all treasure today. You promised eternal life to those who believe. Remember for good this your servant Ken, as we also remember him. Bring all who rest in Christ into the fullness of your kingdom, where sins have been forgiven and death is no more. And now we're going to pray for all those who will miss Ken. We raise before you his niece Anne, unable to be here due to illness. So we pray for her healing. And Betty, also unable to be here. And all of Ken's many friends. Your mighty power brings joy out of grief and life out of death. Look in mercy on all who mourn. Give them patient faith in times of darkness, and strengthen them with the knowledge of your love. When someone close to us dies, we feel as if a part of us dies too. But part of that person lives on in us. Give to all Ken's friends the strength to treasure the memories of the past, and yet the courage to look to the future. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. God of mercy, entrusting into your hands all that you have made, and rejoicing in our communion with all your faithful people, we make our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We now come to the commendation, when we commend Ken's soul to God's safekeeping. And the committal, of course, will happen in the graveyard. So please stand. Ken, you shared your life with us. God gave his eternal life to you. Ken, you gave your love to us. God give his deep love to you. Ken, you gave your time to us. God give his eternity to you. Ken, you gave your light to us. God give everlasting light to you. Go upon your journey, dear soul, to love, light, and life eternal. Amen. Let us commend Kenneth Edmund Trenary to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. God, our Creator and Redeemer, by your power, Christ conquered death and entered into glory, confident of his victory and claiming his promises. We entrust Ken to your mercy. In the name of Jesus our Lord, who died and is alive and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. Now may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and always.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. And I never knew, and I think to myself,